Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Some have called it a drag revolution as drag performances have become more visible and accepted as part of today's arts and culture. Today we'll be discussing the history of drag, the role of drag in the LGBTQ community, and slow queerdos, a multi-talented group of individuals who are bringing drag performances to San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria and getting accolades for their energy and their talent. My guests today are CJ Gormley, also known as Rosé Aldé.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. It was a local drag artist, Frank Dominguez, founder of Slow Queerdos.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Frankie. And Chaz Garza, who is also known as Juicy and Miss Central Coast Pride 2018.
Hello.
Hello, Juicy, and congrats.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our conversation with your thoughts, comments, and questions by calling us at 805-781-3875. And one more time, 805-781-3875. And welcome to all three of you. I appreciate you being here. First, I know this is going to be a fun show. Love the makeup, Juicy. It is lovely. I'm jealous.
I was like, we're on radio.
Yeah.
And they said they wouldn't show up.
I know. It would be much nicer if it was you too.
Might as well. Yeah. It wouldn't be Juicy if she didn't. So, yeah, no.
So why don't we start off by talking a little bit about you and how you got involved in Slow Queerdos, what brought you here. And Frankie, you actually started Slow Queerdos,
correct,
right?
With my boyfriend.
So talk a little bit about you moved here when?
So actually I grew up in Napomo Five Cities area.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, so I'm actually from here.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I moved away when I was 17, did a whole journey to San Diego, Santa Cruz, ended up in San Francisco for 8 years, met my boyfriend. We moved back here, mostly because it was so beautiful, and every time we came back, there was just opportunity for growth. We kept seeing the Central Coast was growing. So we moved back here, and you know, after being gone for about a decade, I came back and realized, you know, after seeing San Francisco and the way that, you know, queer people exist there, coming back here and seeing the way that they exist here was completely different for me. I didn't feel like there was a place for us to hang out or meet people. And I was a little bit frustrated with the fact that I would see a gay person walking down the street and I wanted to say hi. And I wanted to be like, hey, we're friends, we're family, like, let's hang out. But there was no really way to do that.
Yeah.
And so we decided to have a little gathering. I convinced a bar to let us do an event for National Coming Out Day in 2016. And I contacted my friend Grace Towers in San Francisco, who's a drag queen who does shows. And I said, hey, I did something. I don't really know what I'm doing.
Like, I got myself into something and I don't know.
And so that's what it was, is like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And she's like, well, entertain them, period. She said, people come for the entertainment. You know, that will keep them coming. And I was like, well, how do I do that? And she's like, hello, your boyfriend's a drag queen. What are you talking about? You know? And I'm like, okay, that's good. So then I got Crystal, who's my boyfriend, Daniel, and Tofu, who's a musician here that I met, who's a queer musician in, here in SLO. And Heidi Harmon showed up. So I did a small, tiny little show, and it was just Crystal, Tofu, Crystal, Heidi Harmon, Crystal, Tofu, Crystal. That was the show, but people loved it. And it was a representation of who they were and what they wanted to be and what they, and it was just so much. And from that, we got people coming back to us who were like, I want to do drag. I perform. I would love to be a part of this. How do we? And so then we took a step back and we're like, whoa, what do we get ourselves into? You know, I convinced all of these queens that I could find in San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria. And I said, I can't pay you. I don't have anything. I said, but we have this opportunity.
Yeah.
So if you could do this, like, we can have another show and we can create something. And they did. And in December of that same year, we had an event at Metro Brew, our second event, and our numbers tripled. We went from 40 people to 120. And it was so, people were so receptive and they wanted more and more. And it's just been like, ever since then, we just haven't stopped. You know?
And it hasn't just been the gay community that's been responding to you, correct?
Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of what we've been trying to do. You know, originally we were trying to find our family and find the people that we felt comfortable with. But as we continue to do this, we realized that there aren't many places for gay people to hang out. And part of that is because, and part of the reason that gay bars have not been successful in San Luis Obispo is because straight people are not comfortable going into them or hanging out with them. So part of what we've been working on is creating shared spaces, ones where anyone can come, including straight people. And we really do encourage them to join us and to see what we're about and what we do, because we create beautiful things.
We did. I did a show not too long ago about chosen families.
Right.
And it was really interesting. A woman who was older called in, and she was concerned about the term queer being used, because from her generation, it was a derogatory term, and you've used the word, as did the guests that were on my show, in a non-derogatory way.
And that's part of the times that are changing. I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, I don't want to say any other words, but any other words that people feel like they've been, we take that insult and we wear it like a badge of honor, so that it's no longer an insult.
It rather than being,
it is not an insult anymore. This is who I am.
Yeah,
you know,
you can still use it as an insult, but we've reclaimed the word in a sense that it is able to be more freely used to, as almost an umbrella term for this community that is ever changing and evolving. It so it's definitely, it has very much so good connotations with it, way more than it did before.
Yeah, yeah. And you talked, Frankie, about having left the community. Now, I'm assuming when you left and when you were
17.
You were 17. Yeah. And I'm thinking you probably didn't feel that there was a full embracing of who you were in the community.
Well, I mean, if you knew who I was, you'd know. I came out when I was 14, and I, you know,
I'm sure you were very flamboyant.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just, you know, my family, they've always been very strong-willed people. But
and supportive of you?
Yes, not originally, but they are now.
Okay.
But that's never really been an issue for me. I think being so young, I wasn't, you know, we didn't go and hang out when you're 17 at the wineries or the bars or the bar scene, or you know, try and make something like you do in your 20s.
Right.
And so I guess it was a big change for me to come back on both ends, to see that I didn't see much progress as far as the LGBT community. That being said, before even that, Gala had already gone through a whole probably decade of people coming in and starting something, and then it like the highs and lows of that, you know. So like, I can't even speak to that and what's happened. I can only speak to you know, my experience.
Yeah. How about for you, Juicy? How long have you been here, and kind of what's a little bit about you and getting involved in drag? I mean, when did this start for you?
Well, I've lived in like the five cities. I grew up in Oshano. I'm 28 now, so you know. Been there for what, 28 years?
Well, yeah.
And yeah, I came out when I was also 14. I didn't have that, you know how people have like the coming out story? Mine was literally in the car with my dad, and he's like, "So you like guys, right?" I'm just like, "Yeah."
And that was it. Out.
Yeah, pretty much. And then
it's not real dramatic, Juicy.
Not really. Yeah. Not like I would like it to be. I mean, you would. But I mean, I love the flair, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm
get
here
it.
In full phase. And no one can see. That's kind of sad. But yeah, and then, you know, like high school was like normal high school for like a LGBT kid, you know, bullied and made fun of and didn't really have a place to fit in, except for like your small group of friends, of people that, you know, love you and care for you. And that's what you need. And then in like my 20s, my early 20s, I started experimenting with makeup and just like playing around with it. And then I'd go out like dancing and I'd wear heels and I'd wear like fishnets and I'd wear like pretty clothes. And but I didn't consider it drag because I had that on like a higher pedestal. So I didn't feel like I was ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The first ever Slow Queerdos event I attended, I was a viewing party for RuPaul's Drag Race. And mm-hmm. I went, you know, in my full look. I went in hair, makeup. And Frank walked up to me and he was like, oh, so what's your drag name? And I'm like, I'm not a drag queen, actually. He's like,
yes, you are.
Oh, so he like walked away. And then everyone's like, oh, you know, what's your drag name? You know, where do you perform? I'm like, I don't. I'm not a drag queen. And
then, you just had nice outfit.
Thank you. Yeah. essentially, yeah. And then actually that night they were doing a lip sync contest.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to do it because I was shy and a little embarrassed. I was actually also suffering from food poisoning. So that was really fun.
That'll ruin your evening. Juicy.
Yeah. So I was like trying to look pretty, but also like slightly, you know, dying.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then my friend Elena, she was actually like, do it, please do it. Oh, you won't regret it. You do it. I want to see you perform. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. And then like last minute, I was like, okay, I'll do it. And it was, you had to pick a song from a hat and perform whatever that was. And I got Dirty by Christina Aguilera, which is Christina, so I could do. But there's like a whole like rap part in it. So I'm like, oh God, what do I do? So I'm just flipping a fan. And I'm just like, whap, 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 you know, trying to give life. And I didn't win that night, but you know, whatever. And then a couple of their parties later, when they moved to Slow Brew, they had a Stronger Together party with Grace Towers, who came from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, I really tried to do like the full drag look, like drag makeup and really over the top. And being there, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to perform. I want to be up there on the stage. So the next day was Slow Pride. And I believe it was 2016 or was it
17?
2017. Sorry, I can't think.
These buns, they just go by.
Right. I know. Oh my God. Yeah. And then, I talked to Frank's boyfriend, Crystal, or Daniel, afterwards. And I was like, I really want to perform. Like, you know, I would go to their shows in full drag and full makeup. And they like my outfits. They always compliment. And I was like, I really want to do this. So their next show, which is their Social Media Meltdown show, I performed in that. And then it's, I believe on the 18th, it'll be a whole year since I've been performing.
That you've performed each show.
Yeah, then since I've started performing on stage.
And so what changed for you? Was it really that, what happens for you when you get in drag and you get on the stage? Is it the response of the crowd? Is it that you just feel alive?
It's everything.
It's everything.
It's putting on the makeup. It's putting on mm-hmm. the clothes and the hair. It makes you feel not really like another person, but like a higher level of yourself, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you feel good. And then the fact that you go on stage and people are cheering and clapping mm. for you. And
it's a positive thing.
Oh, yeah. It makes you feel amazing. Mm-hmm. Like on like the biggest high, like in heaven. Like it's just, I can't explain it. It's just, it's so good.
Talk to me, CJ. How about you?
So I am from the Bay Area originally, a town called Benicia, which is right across the bridge from Concord.
Right.
And I came to school down here. I went to Cal Poly. I majored in theater. And when I graduated, less than a month later, I moved to Las Vegas and worked in events and hospitality there. I started getting involved with drag while I was there. There is good-sized drag community in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a long time as well, like 30-plus years, back to La Cage at the Riviera. So I had a mentor. I learned definitely an old-school style of drag, but something very much that I have turned into my own.
Define an old school style of
like,
drag.
Like, I feel like you find different ranges of drag queens nowadays. I feel like there are people who will go to Forever 21 and buy an outfit, or there are people who will stone and craft a corset
for four days
and have feathers and tights and fishnets, and you wear nails and you have hip pads and all these things. So there's definitely different levels.
Yeah.
I think also part of the old school is more the makeup style that I learned as well, where it was mostly like powders, not so much like cream makeup like most of my friends use now. But and so I started getting involved there. I did a couple small things. I performed at Salt Lake City Pride one time, and then when I moved back here 2.5 years later, I wanted to keep that going. And when I was here, was gone every single summer. I never got to participate in San Luis Obispo Pride. And so I vowed to myself, when I come back, I want to be more involved. Because as Frankie was saying earlier, San Luis Obispo County wasn't necessarily progressing. It wasn't really taking a step back. It just was kind of stagnant. There was nothing going on. Yeah. But I'm maybe stepping it back a little bit, because like you said, there were gay bars. They're gone now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was no place for us to go. I mean, not gay bars. There's gay nights, whatever. I joined the gala board. I got on the Pride committee. And between myself, my boyfriend Ryan, and our friends Cheryl and Sarah, we came up with the Miss Central Coast Pride pageant. And Cheryl said, "Would you host it?" And I said, "Of course." and it gave me an outlet to continue to experiment with drag. So I remember when I lived in Las Vegas, I never really came up with a drag name. Most of the drag queens there just go by their name, because it's just what they want to be known for. And so my boyfriend Ryan and I were sitting there one night, and he said, "You need to come up with a drag name." And I said, "I know." So I thought about it for honestly probably only a couple days. And I work in the wine industry now, and I absolutely love wine. And so I was like thinking of all these names. I was like, Shiraz, or I had a friend whose drag name was Penny Grigio, and I was like, I can't take that. And so one day I was sitting there, and I would love Rosé. And so I said, well, if I just do a play on words? So I did Rosé All Day, with the all day being A-L-D-E with an accent over it. And Ryan goes, perfect. And I said, all right, I'm sticking with it. And the first time I ever actually did drag was my last year at Cal Poly. And I played a drag queen in one of the shows, and I had a pink wig. So I said, that's just going to be like my thing. I'm going to stick with the pink wigs as my staple. Although some people would say my makeup, because they say it's the same every time.
Still looks sharp. I love that.
So I did the pageant. One of the guys who is in charge of entertainment for the Pride community, his name is Ryan Miller. After the pageant, he immediately asked me if I would host Pride in the Plaza. And I said, yes, of course. And funny enough, that was my first San Luis Obispo Pride. And I had met Frankie and Crystal. I had gone to, I think, what might have been their last show at Metro Brew before they moved over to Slow Brew. And then talked to them a little bit at Pride. And they messaged me like a week later and asked me if I would perform in the Social Media Meltdown show, which was also Juicy's first show with them. So it's been all... I was going to say downhill from there. It's a whirlwind.
It's been coasting.
The months fly by.
Yeah.
It's like
a whirlwind.
A show ends and you're like, oh, I have 4 weeks till the next one. Yeah. But the next day you get a group message from Frankie and Crystal. They're like, all right, new cast for new show.
We're already late.
Send me your music tomorrow. But not like that fast. But it's been really fun. Every single one of the shows is different themed. We get a good staple of the same people, but you have people who have never been to a drag show, have never been to one of Slow Queerdo's shows. And then you definitely get those people who have just been consistent fans. And it's been a blast.
Of the very popular shows in Las Vegas is the Drag Brunch. And
Frogs.
And those queens are incredibly talented. And the range of ages of individuals that attend that are from people in their 90s, you know, that are from Illinois to, you know, never seen anything like
exactly,
that,
yeah.
to little kids. So, yeah, it's a interesting phenomena that I think more people are looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like that goes back to your whole point about old drag versus new drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like older drag is much more that we're going to sit down mm-hmm. and we're going to enjoy the show and we're going to watch. It's more theater. Mm-hmm. And I feel like newer drag is more like bar scene, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. more renegade, mm-hmm. more rogue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just yeah. kind of like boom,
and we have
boom,
a healthy
boom,
mix.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sure. And I think we definitely are trying to blend that. And as we keep evolving, mm-hmm. figuring out how we can touch on
on both worlds, yeah.
Some people don't want to sit in a bar. You know? No. Some people want to sit down and watch a show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you've obviously got some talent. This is Chris Kington Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast, KCBX HD1, San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1, San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. Today's show is a conversation about how local group Slow Queerdos has been helping bring drag performances out as more visible as a part of local arts and culture. My guests today are Rosé Alde, or CJ. Frankie is here, founder of Slow Queerdos.
Hello.
And we have Juicy.
Hello.
And very excitingly, Juicy is also Miss Central Coast Pride 2018, and I do have to give you kudos for that.
Thank
You're invited
you.
To join us in our discussion with your questions, comments, and you can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. I want to go to... You gave kind of a background of your own personal stories. What are some of, you think, the biggest misunderstandings or misconceptions about drag queens, about drag?
So I think just for the group, I'll start off by saying that for most of us, we all do it for very similar but also different reasons.
Yeah.
And we all have different styles of drag, like we were discussing before. So I feel like the misperceptions are the assumptions that people who do drag queens are gay men who want to be women, or they're transgender, mm-hmm. things like that. So they're just lumping everyone into one group, where
right.
at the same time, if you really break it down, especially even within our group, we have gay men, we have straight women, we have gay women, we have
straight men,
we have transgender performers as well. So we have a little bit of everything. And mm-hmm. so I think that's probably one of the biggest misperceptions, is just lumping everyone into one category.
Yeah, and it's just only a bunch of gay men that mm-hmm. are flamboyant and
yes.
want to dress.
And like for me personally, mm. I feel like I got involved in drag because I did major in theater, and to me, drag is all encompassing of everything that I've learned. It's performance, it's dance, it's acting, it's mm-hmm. makeup, it's costume, and it's all at once.
Comedy.
And it's exhausting, but mm-hmm. it's very worth it in the long run. It's comedy, definitely. Mm-hmm. So for me, also growing up, I feel like I was someone who had some feminine qualities that I maybe suppressed a little bit because, as Juicy mentioned before, maybe some people commenting, bullying, things like that.
Yeah.
So you suppress that. And so for me, Rosé is just an exaggerated version of myself. It's still me down to the core, but allowing some of those qualities that maybe I have subdued over the past 25 years to come to the forefront and be used for good versus evil. I would say that would definitely be one of the bigger misperceptions.
Yeah. What else? What else are misperceptions about
I think
drag?
That people often think that, you know, as we gather as just queer people, that we're deviants or we're sexually promiscuous, which we are. I mean, like, that's a reality. But
that's
I think yeah, and I think that as far as sexuality goes, I think that what we do as a queer community, what we do as Slow Queerdos, is let people know that, like, it's okay for you to exist in your sexuality however you want, so long as you take the precautions to be safe. And I think that, I mean, in San Luis Obispo right now, everything's so conservative. I mean, I feel like as gay men, we're so much more versed on the vastness of, you know, the ramifications of promiscuity and the STDs that you'll contract and how to prevent yourself from that, far more than straight people are. And that's because we've had to adapt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like sometimes I feel judged for that. Like, you know, like we're again, promiscuous. But I think that we're doing a service. I always try and promote in our shows, and like, and I have Access Support Network there passing out condoms and talking to people about PrEP, if you're not familiar with PrEP.
Yep.
So I try and, we really try and push sex positivity rather than listen to what other people have to say about us, you know, in the way that we exist in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And that, so there's an education component to it too. And there's a responsibility that you feel like you have.
I haven't dived as deep as I wanted to, but it's coming. Just so you guys know.
So you really, there's really a consciousness about it for
Absolutely.
You.
100%. Yeah. I think that we have consciously tried to have shows that are 18 and up, which is changing for reasons, but we have consciously tried to incorporate those people 18 to 21 that normally wouldn't have a space to meet people like themselves, you know. And then, you know, you're 18 years old and you're gay in San Luis Obispo. What do you know about sex education? You know about male and female sex.
Or just meeting other people like you.
Exactly.
And having that space to do so.
Right. Exactly. So
and then
where
what
else
you've
are they
learned
gonna
there
learn that?
May or may not be spot on either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, how about for you, Juicy? Any other misconceptions that you've run into that haven't been spoken that you think people assume about
not really. I think that they really touched on like what we go through from like other people. And like another one of the things is that a lot of people really compare like drag queens to other drag queens.
Explain like, what you're talking about.
Like, you know, say someone's like just starting out and, you know, maybe they need help with their makeup or they're literally just starting to perform, and people will compare them to like a girl on like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
Who has been doing it for years and they're just starting out. They need maybe not negative criticism, but something, constructive, you know, like help, like to get helped out with. So there's a lot, I feel like there's also some like people who come to the shows like, oh, you know, you weren't as good as the queen who's been doing it for like 5 years because you like, this is your first show. So I think, you know, patience with that and then constructive criticism, help them out, you know, be there for each other.
Yeah. And do you feel like you get that from the other queens that are in the show?
The queen, they're amazing. They when I first started out, they were so loving and responsive to my drag and just so nice and warming. Me, I consider CJ like a friend for life. And because we did
a
our
good group of people too.
They're amazing, and I've made family there for sure.
Now I was fascinated when you were talking about you've already started planning for your next show. I would imagine that a lot of preparation goes into the show.
I planned for the next 5 shows.
Okay. Talk to me about the kind of planning that goes into this. I mean, this is not just throw on a dress and a wig and fishnets and act stupid or say catty stuff and you're done, right? I mean, there's a lot more to it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's different for, you know, the queens and ourselves. I'm actually more behind the scenes. I'm not on stage. I'd have Crystal, my boyfriend, to do that because that's just not really me.
By the way, I love that some of the queens have beards.
Oh, that's Crystal. That's
Crystal. I love.
She's the bearded queen.
Yeah. I love bearded queens.
Shout out to Two Broad Cider, who actually named their bearded queen.
They did. That was after Crystal.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, yes and no, but yes.
I think that's kind of shocking for people, right? When someone comes out and they're expecting,
just kind of blows your mind as you're looking at
hyper feminine.
But I think that's kind of what it is as far as drag is and the art of it is like
anything.
Pushing those boundaries and making people like think about these different conceptions of gender and how that fits into their world, and it's us just basically holding a middle finger to it and saying we're gonna just do this and make you feel uncomfortable so that you can get comfortable with this.
Exactly.
You gotta like push it in their face.
And
then with the prep of the shows, like Frankie said, he's more behind the scenes, but in terms of like the themes, they'll definitely like come towards us and say, do you guys have any ideas? But in terms of the shows that are planned, like Frankie and Crystal come up with those themes. They do all the behind the scenes stuff. When it comes to us, what we do is, I don't want to say just show up, because there's so much prep that goes into it. There's costume, building costumes. There's like the numbers that we do are a mashup of well-known songs and maybe like one-liners from movies and things, and having a whole concept for your performance that is both entertaining, maybe a little informative, things like, and something that's just memorable, something that people will leave going, wow, Juicy killed it tonight. Her Amanda Bynes arrest inspired number was, which was her first performance, was just killer. And so there's a lot of, it takes a good amount of time. So that's why I say we have a month between shows. You get like a week off maybe, and then you start prepping for the next one.
Is it physically taxing?
On your body?
It can be.
I had a blister on my hip the day after Pride in the Plaza until I think like 2 days later. Corsets are no joke.
No. Corsets are evil.
Plus, think of how many pairs. I wear 6 pairs of tights.
I wear 5.
Because
why?
Because you wear hip pads.
I wear big
that are
hip
like
pads.
Yeah.
I think you need to explain hip pads.
Okay, yeah. So hip pads. You can take like.
We want to know everything about drag.
We are secrets.
Okay, yeah. I want to know everything
Juicy,
about
what are hip
drag.
Pads?
Yeah, you describe hip pads.
Hip pads are pretty much couch foam. It's pretty much just
couch foam.
Yeah,
you're
okay,
not straight out of the couch.
Foam.
That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, you could if you want. Yeah, want to save money.
Seriously, yeah, go find a couch.
I don't sit on that left cushion. Here, I'll use that.
Okay.
Yeah, I pretty much I go to Walmart. Well, because I work there at discount. I get like a big, huge thing of foam.
Yeah.
That's like for a couch or a chair. You cut it into the shape of Africa.
Yeah.
Because it covers the butt and it covers the thigh. And then you put it in your, you put like one pair, I put one pair of tights. I stuff in the pad. And then I layer 5 pairs of tights on top of
it
that.
Smooths it out.
So it has to hold it up.
Yeah.
So you need that many tights.
It smooths it.
Yeah, and think if you're cutting it, it's not the smoothest piece of foam it has.
Right,
oh, no, there's
right.
Ridges.
No, there's
yeah, it looks
ridges
like a mountain range.
Let's take
so
it and flip it over
it
and use the flat side.
Yeah. I don't know why we don't do that.
I need to flip it over and use the flat side because it's smooth.
Yeah, but so, then even then, there's the outline. You got to smooth that out. And so 5 pairs of tights, that digs into your skin if you don't do
it.
Oh,
yeah. It cuts me on the
waist. It's not comfortable. And then obviously,
like
I feel like I see like girls who wear heels. Like people joke when like, oh, you see the girls downtown, they're all barefoot.
Yeah,
we get it. We are wearing 6-inch heels and
for like 5 hours.
Pride in the Plaza. I was in drag for like 12 hours.
Oh
that
my
day.
God! That
and my shoes were coming on and off, but
it
I always
was a
also
million
try and
degrees.
Keep,
where
it was a million
you know,
degrees.
What size shoe do you have?
I think in women's I wear a size 9.5.
Oh,
you yeah, I can't borrow anybody's.
I wear a 13 wide.
Oh, you're quite the dainty little flower.
Yes. It's a petite.
But yeah, so and then on top of that, you have your wigs, you have your wig caps. Your basically, if you think about it, drag is just, like I said earlier, an over-exaggeration.
Right.
Oh, men are built with larger features. You have to compensate for that. So your hair has to be bigger. Your makeup has to be overdrawn.
Yeah.
Your hips
biggest
have to be
lashes.
Made larger. The biggest lashes, nails.
Yeah, because you guys don't have hips. Men don't have hips.
Not really.
Yeah.
And then it's just, if you think of it, it's just an overall aesthetic. If you look at a shadow figure of a drag queen, you should see the same curves as you would see
and
on a
some.
Luscious lady.
Yeah.
And then some.
That takes a lot of work. How long does it take you?
You start because you're
to put yourself together for a show,
makeup.
Juicy.
It to get like completely ready. Well, because also I like to procrastinate and take breaks. I'm one of those
and
people. Any fried chicken in between. About like 4 hours.
Okay.
So
oh
I'll start them. I'll do the makeup. The makeup. I could spend about an hour on the eyes. And that's just the eyes alone. And then the face, usually like 30 to 40 minutes. And then I like to put my hip pads on at home because I have my dad help me. Cause
it's a private.
Now that's kind
of private.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, I love
your
my dad.
Your dad helps you with your hip pads?
He'll,
what
he'll
a guy.
He'll hold my tights open so I can stuff them.
It's hard.
It's hard to do it alone. And so he always helps me with it. He grunts a little bit like, okay, fine. But he's always down to help me and
That's got to feel supportive.
Yeah, no, to have the support from my dad.
That's so sweet.
I'll go to him. I'll be like, okay, so what do you think? You know, I'll ask him, like, okay, do my hip pads look lumpy? Do they look sad? He'll be like, oh, lift that up a little bit. Or ask about my outfit or about my hair. Or what do you think of my songs that I'm going to perform? And he'll give me, like, suggestions. Well,
where do you get your outfits?
Because
you can't just go off the rack.
I go to Forever 21.
But you make a lot of my costumes.
Okay. Sometimes I'll go to the store and then, or you know, you can embellish it. You can add rhinestones to it. You can, but a lot of the time I make my own bodysuits. I'll go to I'll order fabric from Etsy that comes from LA because they have shiny and spandex, and I'll make my own bodysuit or I'll make my own dress, and that's usually. This outfit sponsored by Walmart today.
She's the Walmart queen.
10% discount.
Yes, she is. Walmart queen.
Right.
Come visit me at a work any Walmart.
So do you have to do routines too? Do you dance?
That's my biggest thing. I love choreography.
Yeah.
I love putting on a show. My first ever show, ever performed for Socritos, I had backup dancers. I had choreography.
It's a production when it comes to
dancing. I was the opening number. I didn't find out until that night. I get there, and I'm like, oh, so what's the lamp? Like, oh, you're going on first. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And she was late.
Was I?
Ooh.
Yeah. I might have been. Because they were like, where's Juicy? She's on first. I was like, she'll find out when she gets here.
I wasn't there that late. No. 20 minutes.
We've gotten better.
That's my favorite part. I love choreography.
The choreography.
Oh, yeah. That's.
And this is all in heels.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Heels and.
Yeah, it's part of the aesthetic. If you walk on there with
parts
no shoes
of couches.
On,
yeah, some couches. Exactly. I also stuffed my
have
pads
no idea.
With two t-shirts and pajama pants. So I also have my outfit for afterwards.
So you could just go to bed.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You can change into your jammies and
basically
drive home.
Basically a big sleeping bag.
Pretty much.
This is so... How long is your show, Frankie?
We usually have people arrive at 7 o'clock. The show usually starts at 8. This is at Slow Brew. Of course, it changes as we go to different venues.
Do you do it other places, or it's always at Slow Brew?
We've done one show at the Siren. We also did a party at the Siren, pink party for Pride weekend.
It wasn't a show.
I saw that you guys were going to have that.
It was
going to be fun.
It was a really good
town.
Time. People thought it was going to be a drag show because that's what we do. But we were just trying to have a party.
Yeah.
Kind of reminiscent of Pink Party in San Francisco.
Right.
It's a big block party where they have lots of pink and everyone dresses up. So I think people got into the spirit, but there were some people who were like, is this a drag show?
Most of the people.
Yeah. Which, you know, thank God for the queens that stepped up to the plate that day and were like, we're going to make sure we have.
They basically said,
we
pick a song.
Yeah, we did an impromptu drag show.
Oh, you did? At the Siren?
Yeah. So we've done it there.
You didn't want to disappoint.
Correct.
Roger. Yeah.
We do have, we have things planned at the Siren and at Seven Sisters Brewing Company. Yeah. We've done an event at Presqu'ile Winery in Santa Maria.
You did the Rock, Slobber Rock.
One of the most beautiful.
Oh,
that was gorgeous.
There was 400 people there.
I was heartbroken to perform.
It was stunning.
Where was this again?
Presqu'ile Winery.
Presqu'ile.
They have a big amphitheater and the sun was setting.
It was the after party for Santa Maria Pride.
Wow.
It was just gorgeous. And all of the people brought their A game. All the queens were just on point.
How did that come to be? Did you plan that or was that something?
Good question. Actually, so Santa Maria hosted their second annual Pride. And they did their first one, and they asked us, you know, after they had their first year, like, hey, we need some people who kind of know more about what's going on and the mechanics of things. Would you guys be interested in helping us out? And we were like, absolutely. So we helped them with their main stage during Pride, and then we helped them book a venue, which was a nightmare, to try and find a place.
Big enough.
And then once we found a venue, we just basically ran the show for them. They basically outsourced us.
Yeah.
But we try to be very conscious of getting queens from Santa Maria specifically that represented the community, or you know, queens that represented the demographics of the community that were Latina. That's how we got in there.
And keep in mind, they're doing this all while also helping us with San Luis Obispo Pride.
Yeah, they were back to back.
Time.
We did five events in 9 days.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. The same group performing.
I started a new job at the same time.
We did. So like he said, they had most Santa Maria-based, South County-based queens at the Santa Maria show. And then we had four of us perform at the Slow Brew Show. Myself, Juicy, Regina Flores, and Cece Candy Pepper, who perform in a lot of the Slow Queer Dose shows as well.
Oh, Anatropa.
Anatropa, yeah.
And we also use that as a time to bring San Francisco queens from
Grace Towers.
Do they like coming to the Central Coast?
Oh, yeah. You know, Grace Towers is actually from Santa Maria originally.
She?
Yeah, so to her, it's like coming home and bringing what she's done. That being said, in November, we are actually bringing two more queens down from San Francisco, Malay Balenciaga and Creme Fatale. Yes, you've heard it right here. who is a woman, I guess you...
Straight woman, I guess.
They don't like the term bio queen.
Yeah.
So I try not to use it, but it's a biological woman who dresses as...
who is a drag queen.
Yeah.
Yes. But they're going to be coming down, and we're going to have a show in November at the Siren. So that's going to be a really good time. Yeah.
The last Siren show, we sold out 300 tickets.
Wow.
And if you've been to the Siren, it's a big, it's a good sized space, but 300 people is still a lot of people.
It's a lot of people to push
in. It was a blast,
there.
Though.
Plus,
was,
you get all those pads, it even fills it up.
Yeah, we're two people all in one. So
you got like 10 couches by the end.
Yeah.
Lots of places. I'm like three people and two couches.
This is Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker, on KCBX Public Radio from Salinas to Santa Barbara on the web at kcbx.org. My guests today are CJ, also known as Rosé Aldé. Frankie Dominguez is here. He's the founder of Slow Queerdos. And we have Ms. Juicy here, who is also Miss Central Coast Pride of 2018.
Hello.
We're talking about drag shows and performers and how one group is making a huge impact on the Central Coast. You can bring your comments and voice to today's shows or questions. We still have about 15 minutes left. The show is live, and we'd like to hear from you. It's 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. 3875. You know, as I was looking into talking about the history of drag queens, there's some great stuff that's written, and one of the pieces that was sent to me by Christina, who's the producer of this show, was Drag Diaries, a piece from Drag Diaries that's written by Jonathan David. And he was talking about how the origin of drag really goes way back to Native American, Indigenous, South American, and even ancient Egypt. And, you know, we think about it, too, if we remember back as far as the Aztecs, that drag performed there or was a part of the lifestyle there. But also in performance, it was kabuki in Japanese. Mm-hmm. Performance kabuki is something that a lot of people, I think, are aware of men playing the female roles in Japanese theater. In drag, History of Female Impersonation and Performing Arts, that was written by Roger Baker, he had written about how formal drama came literally from the church, which is really, I found really interesting too, that in an effort to help illiterate the Bible and passages from the Bible of people that were less educated and couldn't read, that members of congregations would actually act out parts. And at that time, women could not be part of that. All of the roles were played by men.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. And that led into also Shakespeare, which all of the parts were played by men. So, you know, drag has a long, long history. And it was not always associated in people's minds with a sexual connotation at all. It had to do with performance or even education, which is a lot of what you guys are bringing in to it as well. You know, you're bringing in your performance, you're bringing in your arts, you're bringing in your creativity, which is really pretty cool.
Well, I think our bottom line is the community. I mean, in highlighting the community, I think as queer people, we are capable of so much. I think that queer people are so creative and talented, and they think so much further outside the box because they don't have those social constructions that tell them they can and cannot. They've moved past that.
Well, they've already done something they've been told you cannot.
And once you move past that, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And so being able to find those people and to really hone those skills mm-hmm. and to encourage them and to let them do what they're doing, mm-hmm. you know, look at Juicy, you know, like that's what we're about, is really just letting the light that exists in us shine.
Yeah.
What kind of response do you get from the people that are coming to your shows that are straight community? What kind of, do you hear feedback from them?
Yeah, honestly, it's very appreciated. Honestly, people, I think for the most part, who know about drag, they know it's not easy, as we mentioned earlier. It's a little painful. So they're very appreciated, but also giving them now this outlet that was not in this county before to have a conversation and ask questions. I feel like pretty much the only drag shows that were here prior to So Queerdos were the drag show that's an annual staple during the Pride celebrations. But it was queens from out of town. They had a busy schedule. You didn't get a chance to sit there and talk with them. Whereas at this show, come sit down on the bench with me. I've popped my heels off. I'm ready to have a conversation with you. You can ask me whatever you want. Yeah. And honestly, that is probably one of my favorite parts, is just being able to chat with people mm-hmm. and connecting connecting with people, meeting new people. I've met so many people in the past year and a half, and it's been nuts. But some people that I have just loved that are now in my life, and like I said, that appreciation is also appreciated on our part. We do this both for ourselves and for the community, so kind of getting the appreciation on both sides is just an evident example of that.
Well, it's got to feel good to be able to connect about something that you're happy to do, that feels good doing, and to have people appreciate it and to actually have a genuine connection with people rather than feeling ostracized for it. Let's take a call from Steve. Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, I just comment. You were talking earlier about the different people that are gay and the drag and all the rest of it. And I'm a gay man. I'm a truck driver. I know quite a few other gay truck drivers as well. And I don't do drag. I've watched it numerous times at Pride and San Francisco and Las Vegas and LA and stuff. And, I appreciate what they do. It's not a big thing for me and stuff. And a lot of my straight friends didn't believe me when I told them I was gay because I don't fit what they consider the stereotype.
Right.
Of being very effeminate and all that. And it's not, and effeminate men don't do it on purpose. It's just the way they are, just as straight acting gay men don't do it either. It's just the way they are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to bring that across. And a lot of people just don't realize they deal with us on a daily basis and just don't know it.
They just
make assumptions because of the people that they see that are very obvious. Mm-hmm. And like I said, not that they do it on purpose. It's just the way they are.
Yeah. Steve, you're speaking to what CJ and Juicy and Frankie were saying earlier, that there are ideas about stereotypes about not only about drag queens, but there are stereotypes about gays in general or queers in general that don't fit. There's not one cookie cutter of one size fits all, right?
Definitely not. And I actually don't like the term queer because I think it's somewhat degrading to us. Okay. You know, just like doing the N-word, it's out there, but I never use it. I think it's degrading to us to do that. So it makes us look bad, and the people that are against us use it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to add fuel to the fire.
Steve, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
64.
Okay.
And I've been out. I grew up in West Hollywood, but I didn't come out actually until I moved up to the Central Coast. And I came out at about 30.
Yeah.
And my older brother was gay as well. And stuff. I do feel that it's heredity because my younger brother is very homophobic. There was a guy I knew up here in SLO years ago. There was five kids, and four out of the five were gay, and the four that were gay felt the fifth one wasn't ready to deal with it. So I do think it's genetic. It's just, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've embraced that And, you know, you and I come from the same generation of the word queer. And it was something that I was mentioning earlier, is that, you know, they're embracing, these are all younger guys, and they're embracing that word in a different way. And it's a different culture.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So, I appreciate you calling in, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Take care. Bye-bye.
And we have a call from Michelle. Hi, Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Did you have a comment or a question?
I did, yes. I'm Michelle Cullen, the executive director of GALA, and I'm just calling in. I've been listening to the show. It's been great. I really appreciate how inclusive our local drag community is. They were talking about that a bit earlier. I had not been to drag shows before coming to those here on the Central Coast. I've now been to them other places, and I think ours are the best.
Oh, my gosh. You should see the shine in these boys. They're loving that.
Well, yeah, it's a really impressive group, and Slow Queerdos has done so much for the community. We just really appreciate them.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks, Michelle. Love you, girl.
thank you for calling in, Michelle.
You're welcome. Right, bye.
Bye. Frankie, you went to Good Morning Slow, didn't you? The Chamber of Commerce? Did you go to the
Chamber?
Was it you?
Yes.
Oh, CJ. CJ went to Good Morning Slow.
Yeah.
And you did a presentation. Talk a little bit about how that was for you. Were you nervous?
I was very nervous. It was funny because I've performed for a long time, but this was just something that I'd never really had the platform necessarily to discuss publicly. Besides our shows, things like that, but it's a little less formal, I feel. They approached me and asked me if I would come and discuss the history of Pride, what role drag has played in the in the gay rights movement, how it all began, and I had 4 minutes, and I was like, oh, okay. And I think when I finished typing it up, I was like, okay, I'm at twice the amount of time I was supposed to have, so I had to cut a lot out. But it was a great group of people. It was very I will say I was a little – the first thing I asked was how many of you have been to San Luis Obispo Pride before? And I would say maybe a tenth of the room raised their hand. And then I made a joke about the fact they've had 22 years to do so. But I also had people come up to me afterwards and say, I will be there, I promise you. And it was very rewarding. I felt like I was there for a good reason. I feel like I was able to touch on some nice discussion points, some nice topics to just inform a little bit to people about things like the Stonewall riots and how the gay rights movement kind of started rolling and stuff that people did not know. So it was very fun. I still have people come to me every once in a while and say, you did a fantastic job at Good Morning Slow. Thank you for being there. And I'm just like, thank you for saying
Ray,
that.
What points did you make to the group that you can make right now?
Honestly, I think I was hitting them with both facts and dates. I think that people think that a lot of movement in the LGBT community has only happened in the past like 20 years, but it really has been moving so much long before that. It's just not as well known, and it's unfortunate because that was the pivotal moment that started everything. And so there really is a lot surrounding everything, and I'm sure Frankie could touch on it too. I just wanted to, because I only had 4 minutes, give a general overview of everything that has happened in the past 50 years, as well as discussing what is going on here in this community today, because that was something they also wanted me to bring out with everyone in discussing Slow Queerdos and what they've done for the community and what Pride still does for the community here. So.
Yeah, it's nice that you were able to get it together and go up there.
Very appreciative of the fact that they asked me to do that.
Yeah, someone had called in and do the Slow Queerdos have any thoughts on access to LGBTQ plus healthcare on the Central Coast?
I think that that's not something that we really cover ourselves. I mean, that being said, we do work closely with Access Support Network, and we let people know that if they need any, if they need access to PrEP, if they need condoms, if they need to get tested, that that's readily available, and we can direct you right to it.
Okay.
Also, as far as, you know, transgender care goes, I'm pretty sure that Denise Taylor heads up a lot of that here. In,
she still does,
yeah,
correct.
She does a wonderful job.
She does.
So I think that, you know, do what you do best, and I don't do those things. I'm not a physician. I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't, you know.
Yeah.
But I can tell you where to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's important.
And I believe that Twin Cities Hospital also has a basically a pool of services and people who provide those services that you can look at to figure out where you need to go and feel comfortable and safe. So that's something that they also have been putting together in this community as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And organizations like RISE, too,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know,
oh, yeah.
also address all individuals.
Yes.
So and used to be women's services, and now no longer is specific to women. Mm-hmm. So that's great. We have a few minutes, and I want to make sure that we're talking about what's upcoming and what you've got plans for and kind of what you envision for the future and how people can get involved and support. The other thing, though, Frankie, first, when you're doing your shows, you're supporting nonprofits when you're doing
Not
your
always.
Shows.
No.
Okay.
We were actually, when we first started doing this, you know, we thought about should we become a nonprofit? But one big factor that deterred us was the fact that we could not be involved with politics. And to be queer and to be gay is to be political.
Yeah.
And so we refused. We were like, nope, there's no way. There's no way that I'm going to...
As a 501, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way that I'm going to do that and have that because that is who we are mm-hmm. and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, no, we're not. But we do fundraisers for, like we did Pride this year and last year for Gala, and we donated proceeds for that, as well as Pink Party. And then we did an event for RISE, Red Stilettos, which is actually a good segue for you because we are going to be doing something very similar to that. When we did the Red Stilettos show, we opened all different kinds of performers to come to our stage, burlesque performers, singers. This was at Seven Sisters. And now we're just about to, in September, start a new show. Juicy, do you want to take it away?
Yes.
Real quick, Juicy. Right.
So, yeah, so starting September 29th, we're going to have, it's called Fresh Squeezed with Juicy. it is a all ages, all inclusive, pretty much open show, like a variety show, if you will. Really focusing, one of my passions is to help new queens.
Yeah.
People find their voice in the drag community and help them. So I encourage anyone who wants to try drag, come out. Sign up and perform because we now have a place for you.
And how can they sign up?
You can probably contact us via Facebook. slowqueerdos@gmail.com would be the fastest way to contact us, I think. Yeah. Or you can contact Juicy
Me directly,
directly
on Instagram at juicy_CW. And I'm working right now with some queens to get them ready for it, like helping them personally with going makeup shopping, going clothes shopping, because I love helping out people who want to fulfill their dreams.
And they can use a Walmart discount.
Yes, girl, I'm here to help.
There's nothing better than a juicy Walmart discount.
Thank you. It's my best quality.
You know, I have loved having all of you on the show, and I'm really happy about what you're doing. I think it's great. I want to thank my guests today, CJ Gormley, Rosé All Day, Frankie Dominguez, the founder of Slow Queerdos, and Miss Juicy.
Thank you.
And for today's discussion about the drag revolution and how it's come to San Luis Obispo and also Santa Maria. Yay, Santa Maria, too.
Yay.
And we have a show coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, August 12th. August 12th, Slow Brew. Broadway. It's all Broadway.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. Next week, please join Fred Moreau as he visits with representatives from Slow Partners about their efforts to address college and career readiness among county students population by aligning students with their skills and knowledge in the workforce. Your comments and suggestions for future shows are always appreciated. Please send them to voices@kcbx. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.